Thank you, Jonathan. Can we turn to Revelation chapter 1? Revelation chapter 1. Revelation, of course, is a book that mentions in more than one place washing your robes, making them white in the blood of the Lamb. The book of Revelation, we're going to commence at chapter 1. We have a few pages to turn tonight, but beginning at chapter 1. I wonder, with our Bibles open, could we just look to the Lord in prayer, please? Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for what we've heard already this evening, what we've heard sung, what we have sung. And now, Lord, as we turn for a time to thy precious word, oh, that we may see Christ. Lord, that every one of us would have the greatest blessing that a man or woman can enjoy in this life of knowing Christ as our own and personal Saviour. So bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, we spoke on pronouncing blessings in our study on Joseph. This week we took Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And we spoke on the theme of blessing, how the patriarchs pronounced blessings, the priests in the Old Testament pronounced blessings. Of course, the blessed person of Christ raised his hands, ascending up into heaven. He pronounced a blessing. And the people of God are to pronounce blessings and be a blessing. Remember that illustration we used of what used to be take place in some supermarkets? Someone would win a prize, and the prize would be to go round with a trolley as fast as they could within a time limit and grab as many items and throw them into the trolley as fast as they could. Now, if Jonathan was doing it, he'd be grabbing Pampers and into the trolley. But it had to be back in time. And we pointed out life is a lot like that. We rush madly through the days of the years of our life, and how terrible it would be if we got to the end of life and realized we'd grabbed all the frivolous, trivial things and would missed out on what really mattered in life. What really mattered, the blessing of God, is what really matters. Now, we all know the book of Revelation has to do with end things, with final things. But maybe you didn't know this. I know some of you would have known this, but maybe some didn't know about the Beatitudes. When we say the word Beatitude, we naturally think of Matthew 5, blessed are, blessed, blessed, blessed. Beatitude is just a term for blessings. And the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount gave 8 blessings. Blessed are you. But do you know that is not the final blessings that the Lord said? That is not the finish of his Beatitudes. I intended on speaking something else, but as I thought about this morning's message when I went home and about blessings, I thought I would mention this in the book of Revelation. You see, in the book of Revelation, there are about 60 years after the Sermon on the Mount, the risen Christ sent message to John through an angel for him to write this book. Of course, it comes from Christ. It's his word. You know that John wrote his gospel to convince sinners to believe in Christ. He wrote his epistles to confirm saints, to show that you how to have assurance of salvation. He penned the book of Revelation to comfort the sufferer. He's writing to Christians who were being put to death in the reign of the Caesars, especially under Nero. John himself is exiled in the Isle of Patmos, so the Christians are being persecuted. And never forget, the book of Revelation is to comfort believers when they're suffering persecution, whether in the beginning, the Middle Ages, or even today. Remember I mentioned a few weeks ago the startling figure that one of those groups work among the persecuted church claimed that last year there were 240,000 Christians put to death. Baffles you that, doesn't it? 240,000, and I haven't got the zeros mixed up. There are Christians still suffering today. Places in Africa and other parts of the world. And Christ, through John, sends 7 blessings. 7 Beatitudes, 7 jewels, you could say, to encourage saints going through trial. You know, of course, the book of Revelation is symbolic. 7 is a particular number. There's the seven churches, the seven spirits, the seven candlesticks, the seven stars, the lamps, the trumpets, the angels, seven thunders, 7,000 men, the vials, the mountains. I'm not sure if I left any of the sevens out, but it's a book of sevens. And there are seven blessings. Let me go through them very quick, and as time permits, we'll look at one of them. Remember, this morning we're thinking of blessings. Blessings. Now watch these blessings. Verse 3 of Revelation 1. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. And then actually the word is for preaching, listening to teaching, preaching. Hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. There's a special blessing attached to this book. To read it, to listen to us speaking on it tonight, to meditate upon it. God promises a blessing. Thank God this Bible is a blessing book. It's a book full of blessings. How we love it as Christians. The world can't understand why we love the Bible. How many in our own province have no time for the Word of God? Jonathan tonight in his testimony showed how the Word of God can be so precious. This is a blessing book. A blessing book. Turn over to chapter 14. I'm just pointing out to you the seven blessings. So if you want a blessing, you go home and you look up these seven blessings. Chapter 14 is the second one. And it's in verse 13. And we'll come back to this as time permits later. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. There's another great blessing. Turn over to chapter 16. We'll just keep going with them. And verse 15. As I say, you can go through these later and follow them through. Chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. In other words, he's coming unexpectedly. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Turn over to chapter 19. And we're at verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed. In the New Testament, the word blessed is supreme happiness. Supreme happiness is promised in going to the marriage supper. Turn over to chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Then turn over to chapter 22, verse 7, just two more. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's very like number one, isn't it? Same idea. Verse 14 of the same chapter. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. You can go through them, and oftentimes when you have a seven, the fourth one can be the key. That's the central blessing. Blessed are those that will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So this morning, we looked at Genesis, and we saw where God came to a man called Abram, and he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, called him out of where Babylon later was built. And he said, I will bless you. And we saw this morning that that blessing was a personal blessing to him. It was a national blessing to his descendants Israel. It was an international blessing. We pointed that out. It was to the whole world that in thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Ah, but you remember we spent time this morning pointing out there's also an eternal blessing. Because we pointed out from the book of Galatians that that blessing to Abraham was not simply physical or national. It was spiritual. Because it referred to Christ, in thy seed, singular Christ. And the blessing that Abraham received was a spiritual blessing that he was able to trust Christ, the coming Redeemer, and he was saved. And we who trusted in Christ, we've entered into the same blessing as Abraham. We talked about that this morning. Well, tonight, the book of Revelation confirms what we said this morning. When you know Christ as your Savior, you not only have blessings in this life, and how wonderful they are. Thank God, when you have Christ, you have blessings in eternal life. For all eternity, the blessings are yours. In the time we have, go back to chapter 14. We'll not spend long, but let's look at one of these blessings. Chapter 14. It's often read at the funeral service of a believer. Now, I don't have time to go through this, but looking at it this afternoon, it's an interesting scene. You see, it talks in the early part of the chapter about the Lord and the judgment. For instance, let me just point out to you verse 6 for a moment. Chapter 14. I saw another angel. Verse 8 followed another angel. Verse 9 and the third angel. I'll not go read. We can go around the rest of the chapter and look at all the times an angel appears. Say, what's the significance of that? Well, let me take you to the Greek theatre by imagination. Yes, there were dramas. There were theatres back in those days. It was very popular in the Greek culture to have a theatre, to have drama, acting. But you know, they didn't have the modern photography and movies that we would have today. So what they used to do, they would have an angel. Now, the word angel in Greek simply means messenger. Now, of course, this is a heavenly created being here. The Bible terms heavenly created beings, not human, but beings, are called angels. But I'm saying in the original language, Greek, the word angel simply means messenger. That's all the word means. And so the man was called Angelos, we say angel. And during the different scenes, they couldn't portray them. So they pulled the curtain, and this man would step forward, history tells us, and he would say, now we're now going to the sea. And imagine there's a boat, and imagine in the middle of the sea. Or they'd say, we're now going to such and such a place. And he would describe the scene. And then the curtains pulled back, and the actors would act out the scene. He was describing the picture. That's actually the term for that man was called messenger, angel. And right down this chapter, you read, an angel comes and says this, an angel comes and says this, an angel comes and says this. There's a great drama taking place. It's as if God is pulling back the curtain and he's telling us what's about to happen. What's about to happen? You know, people love to know what's happening. There's a great interest in what happens after death. That's why people go to spiritualists. That's why people want to get into clairvoyance and all those things that are condemned by Scripture. Because they want to know about the future. What is there after death? And in recent years, there have been books written by people who claim, and notice I'm putting the emphasis on the claim, to have had death experiences and have come back from being dead. Of course, most of them say a bright light and joy. Well, my Bible tells me if you die without Christ, there's no bright light and no joy. It's darkness. But anyway, these people write books and people buy them and read them. Even in charismatic circles, they talk all about that. And they're interested in what happens after death. But thank God, with this Bible, we are told what happens after death. That's why this book's a wonderful book. We're told. God has informed us in the Bible all that anybody needs to know about after death. And therefore, all these books that come out claiming to be Christian and tell you such and such prophet or apostle or preacher or whatever, oh, they had this experience and here you need to get this tape and you need to learn. Oh, no, thank you, I've enough in this book. I've enough here. God has already told us. This is all we need to know about the future. We believe the Scripture is complete. Don't need any new revelation. Don't need any of this new teaching. And we've got the Word of God. What happens after a person dies? 10 seconds, well, 5 seconds, 3 seconds, 1 second, I suppose, we could say, what happens? What happens? And this chapter is one of the chapters that tell us. It's good to write in the margin of your Bible. I'll just quote it, Matthew 25:46. When the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in his ministry, towards the end of his ministry, he said, and these, that's the unsaved, the lost, shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, that's the saved, those who have received Christ as Savior, those who have been born again will go into life eternal. There's two destinies in this chapter, two destinies. Now, we're all going to die, unless, of course, the Lord comes back. So it's not a question, are we going to die? The question is, what happens after we die? I've read in a certain cemetery in America, there's a tombstone that's this. It says this, pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. Some unknown passerby read those words and scratched underneath them extra words. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. To say that's the true thing. And whoever wrote that's absolutely correct. Death doesn't end at all. Death doesn't end at all. And notice in our text in verse 13, it says, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. You see, it all depends on your relationship with Christ. We're born into this world without Christ. But when you come to know him as your Savior, you're placed into Christ. You're in union with him. Spiritual union. That's how the New Testament puts it. You're in Christ. And for those that are in Christ, when they die, they go to be with Christ. For those who are not in Christ, they die and go out into eternity, and they will exist forever without Christ. Without hope. Only two destinies. Only two destinies. Which one will it be? Just very quickly, of the tragic death of the sinner, the tragic death of the, put it this way, the sinner who has not had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the key words, put down wrath. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. Chapter 14 of Revelation, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Brimstone actually is just the fire of God, in the presence of the holy angels. And in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Reminds us of the rich man in hell, Luke 16. He lifted up his eyes in hell, and hell is a subject that's rarely discussed. My hell people get very, very annoyed. Many dismiss it out of hand. Many don't want to talk about it. And they scoff at the idea. There's even men in pulpits who deny it. And if you speak about hell, the world calls you a hell and damnation preacher. It's only a fundamentalist fable. Well, skeptics may deny it. Scoffers may deride it. But Scripture declares there is a hell. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Oh, God is a God who can pardon. But he's also a God who punishes. The tragic destiny of those who are not in Christ. Wrath. Of course, someone who's not in Christ is already under wrath. Remember John's Gospel chapter 3? Those who have not believed are already condemned. already condemned. Wasn't it Jonathan Edwards talked about hanging over the gulf of hell just by a spider's web, as it were, by a thin cord? You see, you're already under the condemnation of God when you're outside of Christ. Because God is holy. He's so good and righteous, He must punish sin. And because we're the sinner, we deserve His wrath. We're under His condemnation. But this is talking further about someone who has died without trusting the Lord as Savior. And they're going out into eternity. So we don't listen to those who mock the idea of hell, even among so-called evangelical circles today. A man by the name of Rob, R-O-B, Bell. I remember a year or so ago interviewed in Sunday Sweetens. He grew up in evangelical circles, preached in evangelical circles, but today he said he's looked at it and nobody will ever be eternally in hell. That even if you die without Christ, you'll go out, you'll not actually be with the Lord, but the Lord's so loving, He'll keep working with the people until they repent. And no, it's not in the Bible. That's a lie. That's no true. That's not true. For verse 11 says it's eternal. It's eternal. Ascendeth up forever and ever. Not only is it eternal, it's continual. It's continual, for it's day nor night. Day nor night. There's no rest day or night. No rest from memory. No rest from the loneliness. No rest from the pain. No rest from the horror, the seriousness, and the times counting down. Remember this morning, few days, the days of my years. So there's a tragic destiny of those who are not in Christ. Wrath. But just briefly, look at verse 13, the triumphant death of those who are in Christ. And you know what the word here I would put? Welcome. There's a strange verse in Ecclesiastes that tells us the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. Don't have time to go into that, but I think it's Psalm 116 as well, a verse that talks about precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. What a word of welcome. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. What does that mean, and die in the Lord? It means they're trusting Christ. They're in Christ. They've believed on Him. What happens to you if you're in Christ? You're blessed. When you come to that moment of death, and it'll be unexpected, don't know when that time will be, but when you come to that time, you'll be blessed. Because you're in Christ. The blessing's linked to Christ. Your eternity will be blessed. Because as Paul said, it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. What will it be like? Well, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. They rest. They rest. Now, some have idea when you read that word rest, you say, I'll put my head in the pillow and put my feet up and have a good rest. That's not what the word means. That's not the meaning of the word. Heaven is never pictured as a place where you lie down and sleep. His saints serve Him. The word is translated, I'll just go over these quickly, it's translated, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 16:18, Paul said, they have refreshed my spirit. He wrote in the book of Philemon, it's verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy in thee in the Lord. Refresh me. Refresh. Reinvigorate. Revive. In other words, you'll serve the Lord, but you'll do it with power. You'll not grow tired. You'll not grow weary. And the word labor there is not the idea of work in itself. It's the work that leads to weariness. It's talking about a weariness. Oh yes, the work of the Lord. We're not weary of the work in that sense. But you get weary in the work. And we get weary as Christians with the trials and the problems and the difficulties. And the Lord is saying, listen, when you die in Christ, you'll waken up in eternity and you'll be refreshed. You'll be changed. You'll have a new body like Christ's body. You'll be able to sing all day without getting a sore throat. You'll be able to serve the Lord perfectly without sin. You'll have the strength to serve Him. But then he goes and he said there's going to be a reward. Their works to follow them. Later on in chapter 22, he talked about rewards. Two destinies. And everybody in this world has one of the two destinies. The tragic death of those not in Christ. But oh, blessed. Blessed the triumphant death of those who are in Christ. What a blessing. We started in Genesis. Abraham, I will bless thee. I will bless thee. Abraham was blessed with earthly blessings. Think of the Jewish people. But Abraham received spiritual blessings because he looked for this eternal city whose builder and maker is God, Hebrews tells us. And thank God, every child of God, because we're blessed in Christ, we're going to have eternal life. What a blessing. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. How exciting that's going to be. I was reading recently, it was talking about how to testify and witness for the Lord. There was a man who was saved later in life. He found it very, very difficult to witness. He wanted to tell his two friends. There were three friends. And they'd actually travelled a different part of the world to hunt. They loved hunting. And he wanted to tell them about his newfound faith in Christ and what the Lord meant to him. They arranged a trip together, camping out on a hunting trip. And one of them said, let's each tell us the most exciting event we've ever had, we've ever experienced. Well, the first one, he began to talk about how when he was in India, he went on a tiger hunt quite a few years ago, went on a tiger hunt and stalked it for days and saw that gigantic cat. I'm sure he embellished the story a bit of it leaping towards him and shooting and killing it. Oh, that was the most exciting experience I've had or ever have in my life. The other one, he said, oh, you remember we went to north of Canada and the big grizzly bear and I was shooting, but it kept coming at me and I thought it was a goner and I finally fired and it fell right at my feet. You know, that was the most exciting experience I've ever had. The older man who had come to Christ recently sat looking at the fire and one of them said, what's your most exciting experience? You know what he said? I haven't had it yet. That my most exciting experience is going to be one day or one night when I die and I see my Lord face to face and I enter into eternal rest with my Savior. Because, man, recently I came to know Christ as my Savior and Lord, and I'm looking forward to that greatest exciting experience that I'll have after death, to see Christ. Will you have that blessing? You'll not if you're not in Christ. And so the most important question in life is this morning, same thing. Same message as to Abraham. Same message in the book of Revelation. It's all one Bible. One Bible, this book of blessings. Are we in Christ? What's our relationship to Christ? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours and their works do follow them. My, when you're in Christ, you're blessed in this life. It's a blessed thing to be a Christian. It's not a purgatory you pay to get to heaven to try and work our way. It's a blessing to be a Christian. Blessed in this life. Blessed when you come to face death. How often have I heard as a pastor somebody say to me, how can unsaved face this? Tragedy, bereavement, death. Blessed in life. Blessed when you face death to have the presence of the Savior with you. And thank God, blessed after death. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Oh, may each one of us experience that blessing. What a blessing it'll be to see the Lord. Let's turn.